Father, I just thank you for this evening. I just ask you just guide my lips. Allow me to be a blessing to the brethren out there. And just open the ears and hearts of the people that need to hear what I need to share, my testimony tonight. And I just thank you for all that you're doing in everyone's life. Just bless this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, saints, I'd like to share tonight about receiving the full blessing of God and what I experienced in my life. I was raised a pagan without God in my life. I was not an atheist believing there was no God. I just had no knowledge or curiosity about God. I remembered only going into a church a couple of times in my upbringing. My life consisted of just having a good time. I basically worked to party, and it was all about drinking, drugs, and women. I made good money and spent it all on having fun. When I was in my late 20s, all I had to my name was my clothes. I was basically homeless due to living in a home with a friend, and I paid no rent. The car I drove belonged to the bank. I had about $20,000 in credit card debt. When I moved out, I did not even have a suitcase and packed my clothes in black plastic garbage bags like a homeless person. I wanted to change my life because deep down there was emptiness. I wanted to get married, have my own home, and show responsibility. I met the girl of my dreams, my wife Trish, and within a year we got married. After a few years, we had purchased a home, we were working together in our own business, and at the same time, we were seeing a marriage counselor ready to divorce because we could not get along. This is when God put a Christian couple in our life that we met through business. God also gave me a customer that was a pastor of a church that I liked and respected as a person. The wife of the couple we met gave Trish a booklet about turning your life over to God. Trish put it in the bottom drawer of the bathroom vanity. One day she pulled it out and turned her life over to Christ. I saw a change in Trish. She was softened, and I did not understand what was going on. We started going to church, and eventually I gave my life over to Christ. I was instantly delivered from the drugs and alcohol. We realized that we no longer needed a marriage counselor because God was healing our marriage. I was seeing the power of God working in my life. We started to go to a home Bible study where we studied the Word of God, talked about spiritual warfare, shared what God was doing in our life, and prayed for each other. As I received more knowledge of the Word, I was being delivered from more bondages that I had opened the door to. Generational curses were being broken that I received through my bloodline. The more truth I understood, the more bondages of life were being broken off. As John 8 says, "If you abide in my word, then ye are truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We left that church and started to go to another church that was meeting in a cabin, started by a young pastor that was on fire for the Lord and had a heart for evangelism. His heart was to build his own church and bring souls into the kingdom. In this church, we were taught the importance of tithes and offerings, that the first tenth of your total income belonged to God, how God wants you to pay Him 10% to provide for His ministers and build His kingdom on this earth. I understood that we give the tithe in obedience to God. It is an act of honoring Him as the provider. He will in turn bless us for being obedient, and by tithing we acknowledge that our prosperity is from God. I was told Proverbs 3, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruit of thy increase. So shall the barns be filled with plenty, and thy vats shall overflow with new wine. I understood by paying the tithe positioned me in a place to receive the blessing of God. The one who does not pay the tithe is robbing God and is operating under a curse. Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. I understood the Malachi blessing, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightfulsome land, says the Lord of hosts. I was taught to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. All the tithe goes to the storehouse, which is the temple, so the church gets the first 10%, that there may be meat in my house, that there will be food and a church for the hungry and the lost. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. I was taught you need to test God in this, that this is the only place you can test God, is in giving. If I will not open you the windows of heaven. I was told that God's presence will be made manifest when he opens the windows of heaven. God is going to show up to everyone who gives his tithes and offerings. And it says, and pour ye out a blessing. If you want to get blessed by God, you need to tithe. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. That the tithe will be prosperous. So prosperous, in fact, that there will be not room enough to receive the prosperity and the blessing God has in store for the one who obeys him. And it says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I was told that the tithe is so important to the Lord that he promises to punish the enemy so that he will not be able to touch your life. And it says that he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. That the fruits of your ground refers to your money. The enemy who God has punished on your behalf will not be able to touch the works of your hands or your finances. The enemy will not be able to touch your money as a result of your obedience to the Lord in tithe. It says, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. As a tither, you will bear much fruit, and you will not be unfruitful. And it goes on to say, and all nations shall call you blessed. This is how to be a witness of the power and blessing of God. God will bless and prosper you so that the nations of this world will see the blessing of God upon your life. For you shall be a delightfulsome land, says the Lord of hosts. As you obey the Lord with the tithe, God will so highly desire you that he will use you mightily in his kingdom. I was taught that the first 10% belongs to God, and the blessings really come when you give over and above the tithe in terms of offerings and alms. I was shown where Jesus confirmed the tithe with the Pharisees when he says, these ye too ought to have done, talking about the tithe. In Matthew 23:23, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the others undone. That the Pharisees only gave 10%, And we need to be more righteous than the Pharisees and give well over the tithe to enter the kingdom, as Matthew 5:20 said, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." This was an awesome promise. If I pay my tithe to the church and plant my seed offerings in good soil, which were ministries that were doing the works of God, and give my alms to the poor, God will bless me with 100-fold fruit, as Luke 8:8 says. Others fell into the good ground and grew and brought forth fruit 100-fold. So I could plant more seed and receive an amazing harvest. I knew that because I was already a good tither and gave to all the ministries of God, that I was shown that was good soil and gave a lot of money to the building fund. I knew that God was going to bless the works of my hands. I was determined to grow my business, to make a lot of money so I could give more money to the church and bless a lot of people for God. The more I help build the kingdom of God, the more God will bless me. I started to hire Christians out of the church, if all possible, buying trucks and tools and increasing my advertising to bring in more business. I was going to seminars, joining support groups, getting involved in trade associations, all in the attempt of growing the business for God. During this time, we were put into leadership in the church. The leadership consisted of other business owners, a banker, and a doctor. I was the liaison between the pastor and the construction company building our new multi-million-dollar church. I was an usher. I helped families in the church with financial planning. Church was on the prayer team and part of the deliverance ministry. We also were in charge of hospitality for the church. The pastor would bring in the movers and shakers of Christianity, most that you would see on Christian television programs. I would pick them up at the airport or the jet port if they flew in on their Learjets, take them to their hotel rooms and chauffeur them around while they were in town. I was meeting God's millionaires, the men and women that God was blessing in the kingdom. They were praying over me, God's blessing and anointing over my business and finances. They were telling me about how God was blessing them, their ministries, their travel, the people they were associated with. They were also telling me about their amazing homes that God blessed them with. I had one man of God tell me about the car he just paid cash for and how there was only 10 in the United States and that the only one in his area was owned by Bill Gates. I had another man of God tell me about his private zoo he had built for his enjoyment. They would set up support tables and offer books and audios and videos for sale, and I would buy them and consume their teachings. After about 6 or 7 years of going to church faithfully, tithing, and abundant giving, I was feeling deep inside my spirit that there seemed to be a void. I was seeing the church being blessed, the pastor being blessed, these men of God that I was meeting being blessed, but I was not seeing people in the church being blessed, or my business or income being blessed. I had increased my debt about 4 to 5-fold, and had become so busy that I had no time for my family and did not spend much personal time with my wife, my children, or my God. One day, Trish and I prayed, "Lord, show us the truth and give us the boldness to walk in it." After we prayed this, the Lord started to take the blinders off, and we were able to see the deception going on in the church. We were hosting someone this week and happened to be standing in the back of the church. We saw the head usher getting the collection plates ready, and a few minutes later the guest speaker acted like God was just speaking to him and just received a word of knowledge from the Lord to take up a special offering, and we realized the usher heard from God before the guest speaker. Trish looked at me and said, "Did you see that?" And I told her, "Yes, but we cannot judge. I saw it, but did not want to believe what I was seeing." We were warned in Acts 20 and 29, "I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock." The wolf was exposed, fleecing the flock. Shortly after the Lord opened our eyes, we left the church, and the Lord took us into the wilderness. We lost our friends and the people we associated with because we no longer were going to that church. In the wilderness, the Lord brought us to a place of total weakness. We were on the verge of bankruptcy and thought we would lose everything, including the business and our home. In that weakness, it caused me to cry out to the Lord and turn everything over to Him. He started to lead me to the truth. As John 8 says, "If you abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There is an if. If you abide in my word, meaning if you stay, if you dwell, if you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples. You are a learner and a follower of Christ. He showed me that I was no longer abiding in his word. I had become so busy that I was no longer reading his word. I was just going to church and listening to man. I was a learner and a follower of man and not Christ. I did not know the truth, and I was not free. If you are not free, then you are bound up. He showed me that I was in religion, and the word religion is religio, from re and ligio, meaning to bind. I was bound up in man's teachings and traditions. He showed me that I had been put under the Old Testament law by man. Galatians 4 and 21. "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. Howbeit, the son by the handmaid is born after the flesh, but the son by the free woman is born through promise. Which things contain an allegory? For these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, bearing children unto bondage, which is Hagar." Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to the Jerusalem that now is, for she is in bondage with her children. I realized I was in the lineage of Abraham, not walking in the faith of the promise, but under the works of the law, born of the handmaid Hagar, walking after the flesh, a child born unto bondage. Galatians 3 and 7, "Know therefore that they that are of faith, the same are sons of Abraham. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all the nations be blessed, so that they are of faith are blessed with the fruitful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteousness shall live by faith." Through my lack of knowledge of the word, I had been put under the works of the law by man, and I did not do all that was written in the law. I was cursed. I was looking for a blessing of God through the law and through works. Romans 3 says, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. I came to the knowledge that the law was the old covenant, and that we are under a new covenant through Christ, as John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The new covenant was about faith and grace, and not works and law. Galatians 3:23, but before faith came, we were kept inward under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed, so that the law is because our tutor is bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But not that faith is come, we are no longer under a tutor. I was no longer under the tutor of the law. I was to walk in faith and not try and earn God's blessing. And if I was working to receive God's blessing, there would be no grace. As Romans 4:4 says, now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of a debt. In Galatians 5:4, ye are served from Christ. Ye also would be justified by the law. Ye are fallen away from grace. I was told that I would be cursed if I did not tithe, but in actuality, I had been put under the curse because I was tithing. I was following the scribes and the Pharisees and not the Word of God. If God did not open my eyes and give me the hunger for the truth, I would not make it into the kingdom, because the son of the handmaid will not inherit with the son of the free woman. I not only was under the curse, I had fallen away from grace. That is why my life was a mess, and I was not seeing the blessings of God. In Galatians 5:2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye receive circumcision, and circumcision is under the law, it says, Christ will profit you nothing. Yea, I testify again to every man that receives circumcision, or the law, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Ye are served from Christ. Ye would also be justified by the law. Ye are fallen away from grace. I had fallen away from the grace. My finances were cursed. I was operating under the old covenant that had been canceled by the new. So actually I was under a covenant that actually was null and void. As Hebrews 7:18 says, for there is a disannulling of a foregoing commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. I was following a law that was not even a law, because it was weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect, and a bringing in thereupon of a better hope, through which we draw nigh unto God, the new covenant, which is the new gospel, the good news that we draw unto God. And 22 says, but so much also has Jesus become the surety of a better covenant. I understood that the better covenant, we are told Jesus is our personal guarantee of the terms of this new covenant. So what was the truth about the tithes and offering under this new covenant? We see giving the first 10% is under the law. What about offerings? I looked up the definition of offerings is presenting, proposing, sacrificing, bidding, that which is presented to God as an atonement for sin, or as a return of thanks for His favor, or for religious purpose, or sacrifice and oblation. Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Christ, by one offering of Himself, has superseded the use of all offerings. having made atonement for all men. If you want to thank God, He wants you to praise Him, not pay Him back. It all belongs to Him anyways. In Luke 14 and 33, it says, "So therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounces not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple." What does all leave out? It all belongs to God, not 10%. If we do not renounce the other 90%, we are robbing God. We are to be stewards of His money and be led of Him and not man on where and when to give it. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, "Ye were bought with a price. Become not bondservants of men." As I studied the Word and remained in the Word, I was seeing that what I was being taught by man through religion did not line up with the Word of God. Man pulls out scriptures and twists it to get his needs met. Even the scriptures about Jesus confirming the tithe, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and anise and cumin, and left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith, but these ought to have done, and not to have left the others undone." I realize he was not talking to his disciples. He was talking to the Jews who were still under the law of the Old Covenant and not under grace of the New Covenant. They were supposed to tithe under the law. But then Jesus said in Matthew 23, "You blind guides that strain out the gnat and swallow the camel." He called them hypocrites and blind guides. They were spiritually blinded and guiding God's people. They made what was not important, the tithing, a priority, and the things that were important, justice, mercy, and faith, they ignored. But Jesus shows us tithing is of the law. There is a second witness in Hebrews 7 and 4. "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth out of the chief spoils, and they indeed of the son of Levi that received the priest's office have commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law." That is, of the brethren, through these have come out of the loins of Abraham. The law commanded that the Jews take a tithe, but Jesus never demanded a tithe anywhere in the New Covenant. Under the New Covenant, we are to be led of the Lord to meet the needs of the brethren and give to the poor. 2 Corinthians 9:9, "As it is written, He has scattered abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness abideth forever." And 1 John 3:17, "But whosoever hath the world's goods, and beholdeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" The scripture that was used to collect the tithe was actually Paul writing a letter to prepare the church to help the needs of the poor brethren of Macedonia, to prepare a blessing for them before he got there. So Paul would not be seen as trying to extort money out of them. 2 Corinthians 9 says, "I thought it necessary, therefore, to entreat the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your forepromised bounty, which is a blessing, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty or blessing, and not of extortion." The church always left this verse out and only read, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, And he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each man do according as he has purpose in his heart. Meaning, being led of the Spirit and not of the law of man. And it goes on to say, not grudgingly or of necessity, meaning not out of grief or distress, which are emotions. And the extortioners use emotions to lead, you know, people in their flesh and not of the Spirit. It goes on to say, for God love a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye, having always all sufficiency in everything, may abound unto every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. This passage was always about giving to the poor and not the church. God is able to make all grace abound unto every good work. A good work is after faith, and then grace is abundant. Being under the law is not faith and grace. It is the works of the flesh. The new covenant is about love. It talks about giving to the poor and meeting the needs of the brethren. Luke 12:33 says, sell that which ye have and give alms. Make for yourself purses which wax not old, and treasures in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief draweth near, neither moth destroyeth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Paul speaks about in Acts 24, now after some years I came to bring alms to my nation, which the nation is the people, and offerings. Paul gave gifts and offerings to his people. Now let's look at this centurion in Acts 10:1. Now there was a certain man in Caesarea, Cornelius by name, a centurion of the band called the Italian, a devoted man, and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision openly, as it were about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in unto him, and saying to him, Cornelius, and he, fastening his eyes upon him, and being affrighted, said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are gone up for a memorial before God. Here is a man of leadership, a centurion, who was a captain, a devout man, which is a godly and well-reverent, who had the fear of the Lord, and not only on him, but his whole family feared the Lord. He prayed to God always, and received visions and visitations from angels of the Lord, who gave many alms or gifts to the people. It does not mention temple or Pharisees. In Acts 10:30, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago, until this hour, I was keeping the ninth hour of prayer in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright apparel, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. He was giving alms to the poor. And alms is not just about giving money to the poor, but giving your time and prayer. In Acts 9:36, it says, now there was in Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now this Tabitha is the woman who Peter raised from the dead. She was a disciple full of good works and alms deeds, and she received a miracle. In Acts 3:2, it says, a certain man that was lame from the mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the door of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Paul and John about to go into the temple, asked to receive an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, that give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, he stood, and began to walk, and he entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. The lame man was asking for a gift from these men of God and received a miracle, not a handout. The other revelation the Lord showed me was that Peter was going into the temple or church of our time and was taking no silver and gold with him. He was taking no money into the church. In Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweet smell." Jesus is our offering unto God. We are told to be followers of God as well, loved children, walking in love, imitating Christ as he also loved you and gave himself up as a sacrifice for us. We are to walk in love, sacrificing our flesh in obedience as an offering unto God. In Philippians chapter 4, I saw that helping a brother in need was an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. It says in Philippians 4:16, "For even in Thessalonica," whatever that town is, "ye send once again unto my need, not that I seek for the gift, but I seek for the fruit that increases to your account. But I have all things and abound. I am filled, having received from Epaphroditus the things that came from you, for you an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Paul received gifts unto his needs that he did not ask for. God told the people to send. God knew Paul's needs. The only thing that Paul asked for was that they bear fruit so that their fruit would be abundant in Christ. Sacrificing the flesh and bearing abundant fruit in Christ is acceptable and well-pleasing to God. And it goes on, it says, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." If you are in Christ Jesus, bearing the fruit of Christ Jesus, walking in love, walking as Jesus walked, being well-pleasing to God, he shall supply every need of yours. It is about needs and not wants. It is about what our needs are and not what we want. Jesus told the rich young man, "If thou would be perfect," which means complete in mental and moral character, or perfected in Christ, he told him, "Go sell that which thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." He was telling him to renounce all that he had and give to the poor. In Matthew 10:5, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, saying, Go not in to any way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely ye receive, freely give. Get you no gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor wallet for your journey, neither two coats, nor shoes, nor staff, for the laborer is worthy of his food. Jesus told his disciples not to go the way of the heathen or pagan, or those who had not received true faith, that worshipped false gods and were not circumcised in the flesh. He also told them not to go to the Samaritans either, who were a crossbreed of God's people and pagans, but go to the lost sheep of the house or temple of Israel. These were God's lost people in the temple. He told them the kingdom of heaven has come near. They were to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. This is heaven on earth. There is no sickness, diseased, dead, or demons in heaven. This is heaven on earth. This is what the true disciples should be doing. I saw very little of this in the church. There was very little of God's power there. He told them, freely you have received, freely give. What I saw was product tables set up and the Word of God was being merchandised in the church. Guest speakers would be promoting their books and videos from the pulpit, and even the pastor sold copies of his sermon in the lobby. Jesus told the true disciples to get no gold, silver, or brass in your purses, and take no wallet for your journey, that the laborer is worthy of his food. The disciples needed no provisions. They were to go out by faith and trust God to provide for them. There would be no need for give me sermons or extorting money from the flock. When I was under the law and under the bondage of religion, I thought this was all scriptural because I was being told this by what I thought were men of God. But when I started to abide in the Word and study the Word, the Lord started to show me truth. When I started to understand that faith was not just believing that Jesus was the Son of God, but faith was believing everything that was written in the Scriptures, that salvation was not just a born-again spirit, that it was healing, deliverance, protection, and provision, that faith was a journey that needed to be walked out, and through faith, that is how we bear fruit in the kingdom. The blessing I was looking for through my works under the law never came. I was under a curse. I was at a place of weakness. My world was falling apart around me. I was on the verge of losing everything. I called out to the Lord, my Savior, for help. I gave up control and turned everything over to Him. I started my walk in faith, knowing that I had to quit building the business, start downsizing and trusting the Lord. To do this would require firing a bunch of people. I prayed for strength and courage the morning I was going to do it. This was very difficult for me. The morning on my way in, I was having chest pains. The stress was too much. I kept praying And when I walked in the office, I saw the Lord do His first miracle of my new walk of faith. Everyone that I was planning on letting go quit. I did not have to fire one person. Praise the Lord. Now I was put in a position of doing many jobs, and one of the jobs I had no experience at. I did not believe I was capable of doing it, but the Lord gave me wisdom to do it. When we started to walk by faith, that is when I started to see miracles in my life. When I was weak, God was strong. We stopped advertising and just prayed that the Lord would bring in customers, and He did. When the economy was in a recession, we stayed busy. We did as much work with half the employees under faith. After about 3 to 4 years walking in faith, we were growing in the Lord, learning to walk as Christ walked. My secretary at that time made a comment that this must be the Lord, because there was no explanation of where the money was coming from. The Lord had gotten us out of debt, except for our mortgage payments. One day I got a call from my accountant in disbelief, telling me in all his years as our accountant, he had never seen such profit. He told me if I didn't go out and spend some money, I would have to pay it all in taxes. We just gave the glory to the Lord. Now that Galatians 3 says, now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. I never understood faith until I started to get the knowledge of the Word. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When I stop trusting man and his wisdom and understanding is when I started to see God's power manifest. Man would tell you that you have to advertise. Faith is believing what you do not see, that God can make people pick up the phone and call you. The miracles continued. Once we were out of debt, the Lord told me to put my home and business up for sale, and He sold both of them on the same day. This was the Lord showing me that He was working in my life. At this point, we were totally out of debt and the bondage of man. He put us in a position of not having to work for the past almost 4 years, so we could abide in His Word and continue to walk in faith. As Matthew 17 and 20 says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. For we walk by faith and not by sight. This is what the Lord taught me through His grace. He was the one that opened my eyes. He was the one that showed me truth. He was the one that gave me a hunger for His Word. He was the one that brought me to a place of weakness that I did not understand. He was the one that was working in my life when I didn't even realize He was there. He was the one doing miracles in my life. There were so many miracles that we just gave glory to God. I quit looking at the finances. I quit managing the company. I would just go in and say, Lord, just guide me today. It all looked so impossible, everything that had to be done. But I knew I could only do so much. And if I was led of the Lord, that He would guide me. So I just allowed him to guide me. I didn't know what I was doing. I'd messed everything up. But through his wisdom, through his knowledge that he gave me, through his guidance, he turned everything around. And it was nothing that I did. It was all him. There was no explanation. There was times that jobs that I thought I would definitely get, big jobs, I didn't get. And I would pray over every job. And he would, you know, he would open and close doors. And this one job that I knew that I was going to get that I didn't get, I didn't understand. And it was about a year later, a competitor came up to me and said, "Hey, remember that job?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Good thing you didn't get it. I never got paid." So the Lord was protecting me when I didn't even know, you know, what was going on. He was protecting me. So I just give him all the glory and honor and praise that it was nothing of me, that he uses the weak and the abased. And he brought me to a place where I just turned everything over to him and he just showed up. And it wasn't under the law. It wasn't through tithing. It wasn't through any of that. That all put me into this mess. So I just wanted to share that testimony tonight, and I pray that it bless somebody out there and that might be in works, that might be under the law, that might be trying to earn God's blessing. I pray that it just, you know, opens and touches somebody's eyes. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for just working in my life to give me a witness, to allow me to share this testimony of the miracles that you did in my life. I just thank you for taking me out of religion. I just thank you for showing me the truth and allowing that truth to set me free. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone out there that is struggling in your faith and walking in your faith, that is still trusting in man, that is still trusting in the arm of their flesh, that is still in works, trying to provide for themselves or protect themselves, that you just use this testimony to bless them, Lord. Father, I just pray for them that are in bondage to religion to be set free in the name of Jesus. I pray for them that are under the bondage of the law to be set free in the name of Jesus. I pray that you bless your brethren out there, Lord, and use this testimony mightily. We just thank you for all that you've done in our lives and that you're going to continue to do if we abide in your word, if we are disciples. And we just thank you for that, Lord, that we are learners and followers of Christ. So, Father, right now, we just thank you, and we just ask you just bless everyone this evening.